Well, good morning. Welcome to the Refuge. How are you this morning? Yeah? Yeah, that song that we played just before communion. We're going to have to play that video, Stephen. Leading up to Easter, if not on Easter, because it is absolutely an amazing combination of the song and the video that Stephen put together. And even though the movie The Passion of the Christ really doesn't depict Jesus Christ in his truest form and how he took our punishment on himself, and because in the movie you could still recognize him, the Bible tells us that he was beyond recognition. His beard was pulled out. He was beyond recognition. And it just puts things in proper perspective. How much does God really love us? Well, look at John 3:16. That was already mentioned today. How much does God love us? How much do we love him? Our response should be an expression of that love for the Lord. This morning, the title of this morning's message is Everything. You know, we've gone through a few verses, Acts 4:12. We went to John 14:16. Last week, we went through Romans 10:9. This morning, we're covering Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And so, if you will, please stand with me as we read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. And verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Father, we thank you. We praise you. You hold us in your hand. You never leave us nor forsake us. Just ask your blessing right now in our time again, Father. Just speak to us. Lord, may we receive your word and apply it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. So I hear the Patriots are favored by 3 points, right? Yeah. Yeah, I heard there's, it's all fixing, you know, ahead by three, you know, favored by 3 points, but that's also that no Giant fan could really walk away with tons of money, you know, and things like that. I'm not, by the way, saying that we should gamble, okay? So I'm just telling you what's going on out there. But the Patriots and the Giants, let me tell you, football to some people is everything. You know, life in between seasons is just boring, right? It's just, oh, man. Let me study up on all the statistics of football. Let me see who's coming up, who's those kids in high school that are going to be drafted, I'm going to select who they should, what team they should go to, who they should play for, so on and so forth, right? So you get all into that. That is some people's everything. Barry White sung a song, "You Are the First, My Last, My Everything," right? And the point isn't the whole song. And I know some of you even have a picture of someone else singing that song, right? But listen, the point of it all is that there are many songs that are written by men, sung to our ladies, expressing our love for them, right? You are my first, my last, my everything. And I don't know if Barry White was a Christian or not, but if he sung this song in his heart to Jesus Christ, because without him, Barry wouldn't have the very breath or the voice to sing this song or any others. But I pray that if he sung this song, that he sung it not only to someone whom he loved, but he sung it to the one who gave him that breath. Because right now, he's still singing it in God's presence, right? This morning, again, and that's not the point. It's not the song, it's the title, right? This morning, I want to tell you about how Jesus Christ is everything. Our spouse will be who she or he needs to be if we first understand that Jesus Christ is everything in our lives. And then we can be that spouse that is unselfish, that loves with an agape love our spouse that God has gifted us with. I know that you experience tough times in life. I do too. But there is one who holds our lives in his hand and cares for us while we go through these times. When Jesus is who you focus on in your life to please, to worship, to praise, to love him, if you do that first, then all these little things in your life will not be distractions, but they'll enhance and strengthen that relationship. Why? Because we'll believe that all things really do work together for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Right? We trust him. We put him first. He is our everything. You see, Jesus will rejoice with you, and he will also weep with you. Jesus knows when you're up and when you're down. But through it all, his plan for you is for peace, for a future, for certain hope. And he said that he would never leave you and that he'll never forget you. Do you believe that? Is he your everything? I told you last week and the week before, and I'm still excited today, I get to bring you the Word of God. I get to bring you hope. I get to help you grow in strength. That's a privilege. And when you live it out in your life, and he is your everything, you understand that even the little things that you're going through all serve a purpose to his glory. You know this Jesus? This is the person that the world needs to hear more about. A lot of people are without hope. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was considered to be a young pastor, obviously about my age. But he commanded him to do the work of an evangelist. Now, whether Timothy was a gifted evangelist or not, that's not the point. That's not what mattered. He said, do the work of an evangelist, right? I don't believe that I am a gifted evangelist. You know, and you may think that you're not one either. But I am just as you are commanded to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. to do the work of an evangelist. God's word will never return void. So just speak it. Just do as he commands us to do. I pray this morning that you're challenged to do one of three things. Number one, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray today's the day of salvation for you. Secondly, that you're challenged to invite others to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That you ask God for boldness. That you just open up your mouth. If the Lord puts someone in your path that does not know Christ, that he gives you boldness to invite them to know this Jesus that offers salvation. Or I pray that God simply increases your boldness and to live your life out loud. You know, last night I was watching the Honors Awards for NFL for this year, and Tebow, of course, was there. And I also saw an interview, I don't know, Nightline or Dateline, I don't know which one it was, but where they asked him, of course, they're always asking him about his faith, you know, and how he feels when they mock him, when they, you know, ridicule him and kind of make fun of his faith. And he said, well, you know, it just comes with the territory. I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Well, last night, of course, when they were handing him one of the awards that he won, the person who was presenting this award to him got down on one knee and gave him the trophy. Mocking, right? As he got up there and he received this award, he said, you know what? Miracles do happen. Because up here, Alec Baldwin was praying. Are you like that with your faith? Or do you get defensive? Some of us, sometimes we shut down. We're, all of a sudden we get defensive. Someone mocks us and we get all worked up. Brothers, sisters, don't get worked up. I pray that by the knowledge that you have in the Word of God, that you in love do something like Tebow did. Just return it in love. Showing that you're not frazzled by the world, but you love those whom Jesus came to seek and save. Use that to your advantage. Let's move on. Now, the rabbinical writers use a phrase from, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correct, Aleph to Tav, to signify completeness, completely. Right? From beginning to end, everything in between. It's like grabbing a glass of water, a glass, and filling it up. Well, it's filled from the bottom to the top, completely, everything in between. Today in America, we communicate completeness by using the phrase from A to Z. She has seen the project through from A to Z and everything in between, right? Isaiah 41:4 says, who has performed and done this calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. God calls every single generation. Are we the generation that God has called to revival? Yes. And he's done that every single generation from the time that life begun. Isaiah 43:10 says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. We are idolaters at heart. But careful and understand, allow God to reveal those things to you, because really there is no other God besides the one true living God. He says, there's nothing, there's no one besides me. I am God. carried. Look to me. I am the beginning and the end and everything in between. Jesus is the beginning. He's the beginning of creation. In your Bibles, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was God. Not a God. He was God. Right? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Nothing at all. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I want to turn quickly to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Which says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Now, what exactly did He create? All things. Everything. He is God. Yeah, but we created that building. Well, but who created you? Who gave you the building material for that building? Who gave you the mind to use to engineer that building? God created everything. Everything that we see, touch, smell, and hear was made by, through, and for Jesus Christ. Everything. You want purpose in your life? Oh, I need more self-esteem. No, you don't. I need to love myself more. No, you don't. You don't. Because you already love yourself immensely. You really do. What we need to understand is that our purpose in life is to get our eyes off of ourselves and seek to glorify God. When we do that, we take 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, all do to the glory of God. You stop thinking about your own issues and you put them on those things which God has given to you, and you treat them like a good steward would, and you do it all to His glory. And you help others, you pour into others. You think of your friends, your co-workers before you do. You think of your spouse before you do. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus is here now, holding everything together and will exist for eternity. We saw that in Colossians 1. That's what he said. He says he holds everything together. For those people who say, well, God started the ball rolling and then He left. If that was the case, we'd fall apart. He's holding everything together. If a person would just stop for a moment and look around, you would see that the heavens declare God's glory. The other day, I was in my backyard, and many of you saw the same sunset. Many of you tweeted the same sunset. I was looking, and my youngest son, he wanted to just ride in the backyard, and so we went back there, and I had to stop. Like, wow, look at that sunset. Amazing. So I took a picture. I've been in Malaysia and Thailand and Guam and Hawaii, on the East Coast and the Middle East, and I've seen God's amazing creation. I've seen the light going through icicles as they're frozen, you know, the water that's frozen on the trees in Meridian, Mississippi. I've seen colors that I've never seen before in the skies in Thailand. I've seen green lightning on the East Coast. Weird, but amazing. I've had the privilege of working underwater and seeing life underwater and things. It's just amazing. It's our God, all these little details. Our bodies are amazing. We have a skeletal, a nervous, a muscular, a digestive, a respiratory system. Did you know that if one part is suffering in your body, that the rest of it kind of starts slowing down a little bit and concentrates its efforts on that section of the body? Not just by chance, right? We came, you know, from little tadpole and no. Somewhere on this earth a few months ago, the 7 billionth person was born. 7 billionth. And not one was created the same. Not one. Why, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Luke 12:7. God created you. He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, according to Jeremiah 1:5. So your beginning was with Jesus, and you were created for Jesus to worship him. You have purpose. Creation began with Jesus. Isaiah 40:26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Psalm 147:4. So when you're looking up at night into the stars that are hung by God, understand that astrologers, scientists are busy trying to name and, you know, figure out all of them. Save them some time. Just tell them God already did that. He's numbered them all. And he's also named them all. Jesus made every plant, every tree, and every animal that roams, flies, swims, and slithers on the ground. He made it all. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 19:1. So Jesus is the beginning of creation, and he holds everything together by his power. Jesus is also the beginning of wisdom. So you go from creation to wisdom? Yes. Wisdom. Why? Because we are his creation, right? And so let's understand that he is also the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, Proverbs 9:10, and Psalm 111:10 all say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, right? It's often said that wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. But let me tell you that many believe that experience gives way to wisdom. I don't believe that's right according to Scripture. You see, Proverbs 16:31, and I like the New King James Version of this. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. If, so there's a condition there. If, so just because, you know, we have a few silver hairs or white hairs does not mean automatically that you have wisdom and it's your crown of glory, okay? Because here's a condition. If it is found in the way of righteousness. Sometimes I've seen some cranky old people who are very arrogant and believe that their wisdom should be received and applied without question. You're laughing because you probably met one too, right? No, you know what? For us, let's grow in grace, right? Let's be those silver-haired people whose white hair is truly a crown of glory. Why? Because we are found in the way of righteousness. True wisdom is right knowledge. That's God's truth rightly applied. And as we read earlier, in the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? It's for this reason that the beginning of true wisdom is Jesus Christ, who is the Word. To to have his mind to express our love to him by having knowledge of his word, and through obedience to the word, express that in our lives. That's true wisdom. At the refuge, the word spoken, God known, Jesus lived. That's the process that we are continually going in. The word spoken, God known, Jesus lived. That's our ultimate goal in this life, to live the life that is abundant to us, according to John 10:10, given to us through Jesus Christ, to live it out to his glory. And in so doing, we're blessed. So Jesus is the beginning of creation, he's the beginning of wisdom, and he's the beginning of new life. And we can reference Colossians 1:18-20. Do we have that? Colossians 1:18-20. Maybe not. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In Romans 5:11, Romans 5:11 says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Jesus is the beginning of resurrection for reconciliation unto God, to be restored unto the Father, to be in a right relationship with him. The problem of sin is eternal separation from a holy and just God who cannot ignore it. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Romans 3:23, we all know this. The problem of sin is that it affects and infects everybody. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God made a way of being reconciled unto, reconciling man unto himself, by way of atonement through his Son, Jesus Christ. God justly poured out his entire wrath on his Son, who bore all of our sins on the cross at Calvary. Jesus paid the price for your sin. And so Jesus is the initiator of new life with God. In him, because in him we are resurrected to this new life. Jesus loves you, he pursues you, and then he offers you. Imagine it's like someone bringing a treasure to you, and he pursues you. Imagine you see someone walking down the street, and some other guy with a bag on his back, and just running after him. Wait a minute, not only are you running after him, but isn't that the guy that is your enemy and hates you? Why are you running after him? And then you figure out, he catches up to him. And he says, hey, I just want to give you all this treasure that's in this bag. It's everything I own. Wait a minute, I'm your enemy. And you want to give me everything? Everything. It's yours. God did that through his Son, Jesus Christ, for you and I. He pursues us and he offers us everything. Oh, what's the catch? What's the catch? There's a catch, right? What do you want? Just surrender your life, but in surrendering your life, you'll actually gain it. Yeah, I'll give you a new life. And through that new life, you'll have a certain hope of not only inheriting these riches that you see here now, but forever. You'll gain riches beyond what you could ever imagine. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Do you know, that's for here and now. If you have the peace of God guarding your hearts and minds, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that's a treasure. That's life abundantly now. But there's a place that's prepared for us that Paul couldn't even explain. He says, it's unlawful for me to even tell you what I saw. That's what awaits you and I. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. And there's more to come. He's our in-between. God is with you every step of the way. To his disciples, Jesus gave them the great commission, but also said that he would be with them all the way to the end of the age. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. To Joshua, before he went in to occupy what God had promised, God told him, and he spoke these words to him. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That's what we need to hear more of, brothers, sisters. Be strong and courageous. Go out there. God is with you. If God is with you, who can be against you? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be courageous and strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's our promise today. Wherever you go, God is with you. He is our in-between. How is God with us, though? Say, well, okay, well, I'll just think about it and God is with me. No. Let me show you how God is with you. God gave us the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus, before he ascended after his resurrection, commanded the disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, in Acts chapter 1. And then in verse 8, it records Jesus saying, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's for the purpose of being witnesses of Jesus Christ. We can do nothing worthwhile without God. Nothing. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he reveals. The Holy Spirit reveals our sin to us and reveals himself to us, according to Numbers 11:17 and 2 Peter 1:21. I've said it before. You know, when we're all tangled up in the world, it's like pigs in a pen. It really is. Pigs don't know pigs stink, right? You roll around and you may even get up. Someone from the outside can say, hey, you guys stink. All the pigs get up. Hey, Jim, you smell anything? No. Same old thing, you know? Let's roll around. Let's do what pigs do, right? Pigs don't know pigs stink. But the Holy Spirit reveals sin to us. He redeems. The Holy Spirit redeems us unto God. He does this in two parts. First of all, he convicts us of our sins. Not only does he reveal, but he convicts us. It's a change in heart. It's like, oh, not only is it there, but I'm convicted of it. What is that? Well, the Holy Spirit's working in you. Secondly, he leads us to repentance. Not only does he reveal it to you, he convicts you of that sin, but he'll lead you into repentance, which means instead of facing sin and turning your back on God, now you turn and you face God and you turn your back on sin. That's repentance. That's a 180, not a 360. A 180. He also teaches. This is all the in-between. God's our in-between, right? He also teaches. The Holy Spirit will teach us what would be impossible to rightly learn without him. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 14:26. We need to read, we need to pray, we need to meditate on the Word of God, and through it all, the Holy Spirit will help you to remember and know the truth so that you can rightly apply it in your life. When you have white hairs, you can say, it's the crown of my glory. I walk in righteousness. He also intercedes. You ever ask people to pray for you? Well, the Holy Spirit knows your heart better than what your words tell others your heart is. and he intercedes for you. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It's not our groanings, it's his groanings that matter. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, amazing. He's our in-between. He's everything. Joy and peace. Do you lack peace? Do you lack joy? How about patience? Jesus said that he came to give us life and life abundantly, right? When he ascended, the Father sent us the Holy Spirit to be our everything, giving us even what we can't attain in the flesh. Salvation we can't attain. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we receive it freely. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How about service? That's when the second generation, or actually first generation Mexican comes out, right? Sí, señor. Okay, service. You guys, would you like to serve? All right. Back to the word, right? All right, service. Sometimes we're afraid. I don't know. We're kind of reluctant to serve. Remember, the Holy Spirit is with you. Okay, and when you serve, it's not by your own power even. It's by the help of the Holy Spirit that brings you into a place of service and makes sure that your heart is correct in order for it to be an acceptable worship unto God. Okay? So do you need some help in serving God? Trust in the Lord. Trust that the Holy Spirit which indwells you, if you've surrendered your heart to the Lord, will help you in your service. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7. I'm just going to refer to it. Jot it down. Look it up. Ephesians 4:15 and 16 as well. Fits up on the screen. Jot it down. Because services are in between. The period of time between being saved and being in God's glory and his presence, the question is, are you making the best use of that time? So the Holy Spirit gives us boldness to speak the word of God. Power. He gives us strength to live godly lives. And I can go on and on with scripture that speaks about how God helps us along the way in our lives. Are you getting the picture? That the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our beginning. He is our in-between. And check out what's to come. He is our end. The end, by the way, never sounds really good, does it? We're coming to an end. Never does. But the end is always the beginning of something else, and it's always good for the Christian. Always. Always. Remember Romans 8:28? I referenced it earlier, but let me read it to you. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes the end of something in our lives is good. For the Christian, know that something else is coming along, and it all serves God's purpose. In the parable of the talents, Jesus used the illustration of three men who received talents or gifts. This was before he left on a journey, and he told them, you need to work these gifts. Two of the three men did use and multiply those talents, but the third didn't. The two men that did well in working and using those talents, the master said these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25:23. That's the end. for us it is. At the end, just as Mario was praying, the question is going to be for us. I sent my son to you. What did you do with him? I received him. He's my Lord and Savior. Yes, absolutely. Now what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? This is the end of our lives here on earth. It's an illustration. When all is said and done, and you come to the place when we are before the Lord, we too want to enter into the beginning of eternity, hearing these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done, good and faithful servant. Our Lord is our beginning. He's our in-between, and he is our end. There's a saying, save the fork. The best is... You guys don't know that saying? Save the fork, the best is yet to come. With Jesus, this is true. Without him, it is not true. For those who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is as good as it gets. For Christians, this is as bad as it gets. So how is it that we can be ready for the end and the beginning of eternity with God? Paul said it well in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, which says in 21 through 26, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." For Paul, the end of his physical life meant the beginning of eternal life. He says, "I would much, much rather be in God's glory. But I know that God has a purpose for me here on earth, and I'm going to make the best use of it to his glory, to build you up, to edify the body." "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist said that in Psalm 73:26. So God is my portion. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him." And Paul said, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." What's the suffering that he's talking about? You know, we don't experience persecution here. I'm sorry, we just don't just yet. As Americans, for Christianity, if someone stops us from reading the Bible in the classroom, and I really do appreciate those who are actively pursuing that right and put it back into its proper place. I appreciate that. But listen, for the Christian in America, I don't know, that's not really persecution. Check out the Voice of the Martyrs. Check out what's going on around the world. There are some people in China. There are some people in the Middle East that if they convert to Christianity, what they are putting on the line is their very lives. What they're putting on the line is if they've had a good living, if they've had the ability to make money in that society, that's come to an abrupt end. They will cast you out of their society and truly persecute you. We have not gotten to that point here in America, thank God. That's not the persecute, or that's not the suffering that we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is that, do you identify with Jesus Christ, with his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection? Save the fork, the best is yet to come. So what is to come? And I want to conclude with this. Revelation chapter 21. And I just want to read to you what's to come.
okay?
Have you read through Revelation? Yeah? Revelation chapter 21. Again, I'm not going to go through. I'm not going to explain this to you. I'm just going to read it to you. Got that fork? Okay. Verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, a new beginning, right? Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. He's talking to you. Verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. In chapter 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. In the last portion here, I'm just reading to you. This is what awaits us. Keep the fork. The best is yet to come. This life is just all in preparation for that. Verse 12 says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning of the and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. And all God's people said, he is the beginning, he is the end, and he is everything. I'm just going to close with that. That's enough right there. If you don't know this God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just as Stephen said, come forward. The elders are going to be up front. I'll be up here as well. Come, let us agree with you in prayer in giving your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone need prayer? Anyone just like to lift some things up to the Lord? Just come forward. Let us pray over you, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are our everything, that you really never do leave us nor forsake us. You don't forget about us. You equip us. You provide for us a helper in which we are able to understand your word, apply it to our lives. And it's by your strength and your power.
fact, it's by your Spirit that we glorify you. And so, Father, I thank you for these words. I pray you bless your people and bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand?